So other miscellaneous that we are talking about, various other reason or purpose of tourism, agri-tourism. Mind it, this goes very well with India because we are basically an agrarian economy. More than 60% of our economy gets its source of revenue coming in from agriculture. And there is quite an innovative approach to turn that interest of agriculture into agri-tourism. Those of you who would like to know from me, I have a lot of respect for a gentleman called Mr. Pandurang Tavre. He is remembered as father of agri-tourism, winner of a lot of awards from UNWTO and many other international organizations. He is the founder of agri-tourism, whereas he has picked up components of agriculture and turned it into an attractive tourism type. So in general, what happens is you can go in activity that involves to increase farm and community income by attracting the public to their farm location and visit agriculture operation and other related activities. So you learn how a particular day stands for an farmer, what the farmer makes his life, how they cultivate, where is an standing crop, a cash crop. Well, they spend time on a water well, how they cook local food and so on, part of agri-tourism. And the concept of agri-tourism is to support agriculture income by providing tourism to the urban tourist population. We continue with adventure tourism. It includes activities such as mountaineering, rafting, trekking, hiking, cycling, rock climbing, scuba diving, flora and fauna, and bungee jumping. All are falling under adventure tourism. Then we have educational tourism. The word suggests education, which means you go for higher education, technical education, specified education to a specific country where you find the standard of education, the learning will be much better than what you get at your home country. And traveling for the study, any specific, any scientific research, anything related to international understanding of a particular science or a subject, you travel internationally so that you are enriched with more knowledge, with more understanding that possibly may not be available in the home country. That's an exchange, that's an educational tourism, and there are a lot of exchanges happen between two countries. For example, France may bring in tourists to learn French language. They could be students, they could be intellectuals. Russia would encourage number of international tourists to come to Russia to see their culture, educate themselves, learn about Russian language at their home front. And likewise, health and wellness tourism that I've already spoken, both are two different. Health relates to and wellness tourism is nothing to do with medical tourism. That's a standalone or a different type of a tourism, medical tourism, where you are literally need an medical attention, a care, a surgery, an understanding of what your health problems are. But health and wellness tourism is just for rejuvenation, to come up with more fitness into yourself, to come up more and take up more challenging work, detoxify yourself, get mentally prepared, and maybe more active in your practical, professional, and social life. That's the wealth and wellness tourism. Medical tourism, I just mentioned, you go for a specific type of a treatment, for a cancer treatment, like Manisha Koirala went down for her cancer treatment, or for example, Irfan Khan, late Irfan Khan traveled to UK for his medical sickness, so on and so forth. So those are all medical tourism where you go, and we do get inbound tourists coming to India for medical tourism, for availability of lot of good medical treatment at different hospital like Asia Heart Hospital at Bandra Kurla Complex, or Tata Memorial Hospital for cancer treatment, and likewise. So medical tourism, both inbound and outbound, has this particular specification for medical treatment, and it is quite common for people to travel and recover after a period of illness. India has been recording a very successful medical tourism growth, because we do have internationally acclaimed learned doctors practicing now in India. Say, for example, open heart surgery, Asia Heart Hospital is most commonly looked. If someone goes down there, you would see good number of international tourists also getting treatment there. More spiritual and religious, where you go down to seek some sort of peace to yourself, some sort of spiritual attention possibly, where you seek for, you know, like India, for example, Nirvana to Gautam Buddha was at Bodh Gaya. So among the Buddhist country in Pacific and in the Southeast Asia, India is acclaimed that, yes, we are a destination for spiritual and religious tourism. Even amongst Indians, we have a huge number of Indians who travel up to Uttarakhand, which they call it the land of God, or the destinations like going down to UP, to Varanasi, to Prayagraj, and in Maharashtra, Kerala, Andhra Pradesh, everywhere there is some growth of spiritual and religious tourism, including, not to forget, Tamil Nadu, Rameshwaram Temple in Sabarimalai in Andhra Pradesh. So a lot of that sport tourism linked to sports, linked to any type of sport which that country has importance, where the majority of the nationals would love to see that, like World Cup, like T20, like all those type of ODIs that happen around for cricket. We see a lot of Indians with a lot of passion traveling abroad. That is one example of sport tourism. Sport tourism includes traveling away from home for watching a sporting event. This may be a major cup final or an international match. It could also be much smaller event. Then we have new topic, exploring new products. I mentioned in the beginning about Vietnam. That has brought a lot of awareness in India in last 3 to 4 years. Otherwise, when it was a French colony and when it got its independence from France, it was known a country with lot of restriction on travel, lot of visa restriction. Their assessment and obtaining a visa was difficult. They launched the product and now they give you visa on arrival. They have done excellent marketing activities. So this is a new product that has emerged. After the visit of Prime Minister Narendra Modi to Egypt, the national airline of Egypt is now flying from Delhi. Traditionally, it was flying out of Mumbai only. So that has created awareness of a destination. A new destination that people think for India is emerged in the name of Egypt. Though one of the oldest civilization, one of the recorded archaeological elements that exist in a country is Egypt. But in recent year, after the visit of our Prime Minister Narendra Modi, this place has become as a new for many. They would like to go and see and explore the country. And likewise, internationally, there are a lot of new products that keep coming up and those who like to explore have been spending time in learning about them. So, based on the description provided, we saw that some possible things that are emerging over time. So, these are theme-based or concept-based product offering. I mentioned this in detail in previous chapter. What is a theme-based, what is a concept-based tourism, where people are picking up what the theme they want, culinary tourism, fashion tourism, wine tourism. These are all theme-based. Like people go down to beach tourism. People go down for spa treatment only. People go down to explore certain myth that they believe is thing that I can explore. So all that is falling under a specific new product explanation. So now relax tourism, just relax, do nothing. Cut off from the social media, cut off from the friends unless something emergency happens. That's a relaxed tourism. I gave the explanation that there is something called staycation, where a lot of working group people have decided, I don't travel abroad, because again, travel is hectic. You have to catch flight, you have to be on time at the airport, you have to pack your luggage and all that. Instead, I would take a staycation where I will stay at my home and still enjoy. I don't do work, I don't go to office, I don't go to college. And then our disposable income has increased, technology has supported. So all are adding up to exploring new product, and which is a very positive sign. On the map of the world, my dear student, if you count, there are more than 198 members of United Nations World Tourism Organization and UN member more than 200 plus. With this, what we think is, oh, I haven't seen this. I have not seen this country. I have not been here. I have not been to X, Y, Z. All this I haven't been. For example, myself, I've been to 68 countries. And I still feel I haven't seen few countries of the world which are quite important, like China. I haven't been. So I'm exploring new products. And likewise, overall, the explorer, the traveler are exploring new destinations for which they have learned, they have read, they have seen through videos, through print and electronic media they have read, they would like to see. So that's the reason behind the exploration of new destination. Don't forget low-cost carriers, fares dropping, disposable income, accessibility has become easy. And all these are supporting in exploring new products. Ecotourism, spoken at length in the previous chapter, that there is an increased awareness among even travelers. Many travelers have selectively picked up destination because they promote ecotourism. They give you the do's and don'ts in their welcome kit of literature, where they say, don't do this in our country. Use single plastic. Manage your waste. Do not destroy heritage. Do not overutilize environment. Use public transport, save water, save electricity. These are most simple things that a tourist can contribute to a ecotourism. These are not anything rocket science. Any human being that wants the environment to be friendly, remain friendly, has to be an ecotourist. There are international travel agent organization which officially announce we are member of ABC Ecological or Ecotourism Society, and we donate $1, $5 for every booking that we get to a local tourism society or a local host community. That is an element of ecotourism, because there you are taking care of the host community who have been resident of that And because of the development of tourism, they have lost certain things, but you did not deprive them of growth. You gave them facilities. You took care of the host community. You bought the products that they designed in their own community, and you bought them. So all these are ecotourism. And ecotourism, as I mentioned, is also something called green. The word green itself suggests nature. Protection of nature, the protection of environment is green tourism. Less usage of water, less usage of plastic, single plastic usage, stop all that. That's part of our ecotourism that is not as a new product. Many countries have been doing it for a number of years around the world. Myself, I am an sustainable tourism promoter for the last 25 to 30 years. The reason, my dear student, I'm giving you a message that think of ecotourism all the time when you talk about tourism. If you don't think, the one, as I mentioned in my previous chapter, that what we have as a supply chain with us to the tourist is owned by our future generation. We are using them. Thanks to them for giving us this opportunity. This future generation would not spare us if we overutilize and destroy our environment. That is very important. And many things can be said on how to be environmentally friendly as well as eco-friendly tourism. Agritourism, I've spoken at length. Here some mentions are there. There are palaces, rural life, places nearby Pune, South Maharashtra are popular spot, Kolhapur, as I mentioned, Sabarmati. The name I mentioned, I wanted to mention that name simply because he is a good friend of mine and he has done great work for agritourism. One of the innovative things that their agrotourism offers in agritourism promotion, they take you on a bullock cart ride, bail gadi ki sawari, that they take on. And as innovative things they give you, if you drive, which means if you take care of the bullock and the bullocks are driven by you, then you are given a license that you have driven bullock carts. Innovative ideas to promote agritourism. And so it will provide the tourist the feel of the rural lifestyle. I mentioned you will learn how the agriculture products are created, how what is made locally is sold at various cooperative stands available in the radius of that agritourism. So adventure tourism, we counted on it. Bungee jumping, trekking, mountaineering, climbing, flora and fauna, scuba diving, snorkeling, all are adventure tourism. We are not falling short of ideas in adventure tourism. Every time new things are coming up, you must have heard of the submarine tourism. Yes, some 3 months back, 4 months back, have you heard of a submarine that went 3,000 meters below and finally exploded in the ocean? But right now, there are many cruise liners who are taking their tourists, plus some operators who are doing marine, submarine tourism, and they take maximum 1,000 meters. That was a try that they wanted to do, and taking people 3,000 meters, which means 3 kilometers down the sea or the ocean, which they did not succeed, and they lost the control and they died down there. Typical activities may include mountaineering. These are common things that happen: rock climbing, bungee jumping, rafting, snorkeling, and so on. Scuba diving. There are scuba divers, an institute somewhere near southern Thailand, where a scuba diver is given the license to even perform wading activities while you are scuba diving. And their certification is valid, accepted in court of law in Thailand. Yes, that's innovation. And that's what people are exploring, new products. Many new products have been emerging. Some of them are known to us, some are not even known to us what is emerging. So space tourism, to mention one of them. Space tourism, that is what people are thinking. By the end of this century, surely human being would take up space tourism. Medical tourism, I have spoken, I explained in detail. So this form of tourism has been rapidly growing as individual wish to avail. In medical tourism, what happens is, along with a patient comes the family as well. And they need more supply chain, hotel room services being offered through bus, through car operators. So they would be providing and supporting some of the supply chain in form of more hotel rooms being booked. The patient would be at the hospital, obviously, but the attendants or the people who have come along with him or her would definitely not stay in the hospital. They would stay in somewhere close by hotels. They would need a regular transport to bring them from a hotel to the hospital. So all that providing revenues. That's part of medical tourism. We have spoken on volunteer tourism in detail. I don't have to repeat. Volunteering is something that gives you an opportunity to serve the human being, to serve underprivileged people who have the potential to promote tourism, but don't know, don't have the skill, don't have the know-how, they don't have the job knowledge. Volunteers go and help them. They lift their capacity. They make them understand what is. With very much respect, let me tell you, dear student, I myself have done volunteer tourism for one full year in a country called Tajikistan, where I was advisor to the Minister of Tourism for one full year. And that gave me an opportunity to work with various universities, institutions, teaching tourism to their students. I traveled with the student, explained to them exactly what international tourists would be looking forward for and how they should get themselves prepared to meet international tourism. Wellness tourism refers to mediation, regeneration, and in that what you do is with you visit remote places. There is one special terminology that they use in Europe is spa. Spa is linked with, straight with wellness tourism. And there what they do is they do mud therapy, they do salt water therapy, which in the countries of Europe, there is an extreme cold experience, almost 4 to 5 months, sometimes more than that in a year, ultimately giving them certain issues which are related to not medical, but wellness. So they offer wellness tourism in those spas. So it includes traveling to promote health and well-being. Cultural tourism, we all know, going down for in specific cultural activities, could be anywhere in the world where cultural tourism activities could be in the name of powwow. Powwow is an activity that red Indians in America used to meet and have some activities. You have cultural tourism happening in the tribal belt of Chhattisgarh or Jharkhand. All that is cultural tourism. So what you do, it allows tourists to participate in a local cultural activity like festivals and rituals. As a result, the tourists can enjoy a genuine cultural exchange with the locals. Let me put up an information with you. In Chhattisgarh, which is a tribal belt, purely tribal belt that emerge out of Madhya Pradesh, Chhattisgarh celebrates the festival of Dashera for 75 days. This just like they begin with the Dashera that we all celebrate for 10 days, and then they extend it to something which ends in November or December first week. So 90 days of celebration. Various events happen in form of cultural activities around the state of Chhattisgarh. That's only happened there in Chhattisgarh. We are coming to culinary tourism. Culinary tourism refers to the food, specific food. People travel there to sample the food or to learn that type of a culinary activity. They visit local farms, they go to wineries and cheese manufacturing companies. Say this can be given as an example for Switzerland, for Denmark, for Netherlands, where cheese manufacturing is done on a commercial scale. So a lot of tourists go down and see those activities happening in those countries. Heritage tourism, wherever there is a heritage accumulation in any form, be it is heritage in form of Taj Mahal that we have, heritage that we have for a particular dynasty that we would have had internationally, everywhere, heritage tourism exists for them. In what you do there, you visit places or sites that are as rich, that are included in the UNESCO site. What can we talk about UNESCO sites? From Mumbai, CST Terminus, Chhatrapati Shivaji Maharaj Terminus, is UNESCO site. Another UNESCO site is Ajanta Ellora Caves. Lot of tourists go there exploring that as new. It cannot be called a new product totally, but yes, there are quite a few who are taking up in exploring these places. Spiritual, again, we have spoken on religious tourism. In Indian travel and tourism industry, where we talk about our own culture, our own show of different diversified religion in India. India is a cradle of religion. We have practically all the religions of the world exist in India in some form or the other. Yeah, we have, for example, in Mumbai, there is a Confucius Chinese temple in Mumbai. There are Jewish synagogues in Mumbai. And this is just an example from Mumbai. Most commonly, you see the temples, the mandirs, or masjid or mosque, and churches all around. But in addition, I just counted on a Confucius Chinese temple in India. So India has a lot of such religious tourism practices. I mentioned that Israelis come from Israel, Jewish come to Mumbai to see some of the old synagogues that exist in Bombay for over 200 years. Yes. And that is an element of tourism. Dark tourism, again, we have seen. I don't want to talk more onto it. So, but that is another area of our growth and exploring new product. Remember in dark tourism, I mentioned about Jallianwala Bagh? Yes. And every international country has something called their genocide museum, the dark side of the tourism, where people would love to go and see. For us, it is like a bad omen. Sometimes people say, what? Everyone has abandoned. Why do you want to see? It reminds us of some dark ages. But yes, there are explorers who do all that. So for example, people are now looking at dark tourism. Some very good example. Chernobyl and Pripyat in Ukraine, where there was a nuclear explosion. Ground zero at the New York World Trade Center or somewhere in Poland or Costa Concordia, Tusani in Italy and Hiroshima and Nagasaki in Japan. These are all the elements of dark tourism. Bhopal, where Union Carbide had explosion and leakage of a gas. Because of that, more than 3,000 people died and many more became disabled. That's dark side of our tourism industry. Okay? So yes, other emerging, let's talk on that, ethno-tourism or community-based eco-tourism, where you meet and see a specific community which could be possibly doing a lot of things, or possibility is of them being dying down. They are very limited in numbers now. A specific language-speaking community may be disappearing, because before the beginning of 20th century, we had 7,500 languages. Now we are sitting on 5,000 only. So 2,500 languages in a course of 100 plus years died down. So this is some area for some tourists to explore. Mind tourism. People explore mind tourism. I did mention about the space tourism as possibly new thing that would emerge by the end of this century. And it will really become a tourism. Not that only rich people will take up a flight to go as an astronaut and sail. And polar tourism is really picked up. People go down all the way up to Falkland Island. From there, they take a ship, go down to Antarctica and see the impact of melting glaciers and activities that are seen emerging, the life there, the various other activities of glaciers melting, the life, marine life, all that is watched there. This I conclude, my dearest student. You were listening to Professor Sheikh Ahmatullah. Thank you indeed. See you in my next chapter.